Joe DeFalco in the ring, raising up the future. Got the belts, got the sweat, endless life in a suplex. Future stars, big dreams, breaking all the seams. Las Vegas stage where the spotlight beams. Arena lights flash bright, warriors of the night. Mat slams, crowd roars, showdown of the mic. From the rookies to the pros, grinding day and night.
Hey everybody, fight, honing skills. Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Well, Joe, you had a weekend where you didn't have to run a show, which is a rare one. How was the rest weekend, the catch-up weekend, and, you know, we're going into a Future Shock here.
Well, you know, there was no rest. You know, I'm still having to figure everything out with the card for the 8th, the card for the 22nd. We got a major, just can't say announcement yet because we don't have the contract signed, but we're very excited that coming up in 2027, we have the Super Toy Con, which we've been doing for years. Supposed to be coming back in May, and it looks like we're supposed to do something with them. But there's another major, major convention that it looks like they hit us up and they were excited and they want to do, you know, 3 different days of wrestling. So we're really looking forward to that, and we're just waiting to, you know, sign it on the dotted line. But
so you finally got the furry convention.
Finally, yes.
So Ricky Tenacious wrestling in like a rabbit suit. I could see that.
You know, it's funny. I was looking through some stuff, and it was like years ago. It was, I guess they were trying to do it. It was, I guess, before it was legalized, but a marijuana type convention, and we were supposed to do it on the roof. And I looked at it, and it was the place near the Hard Rock, and it was that big, I guess, like a suites, like a budget suites type
one, right?
Thing. That's right on that thing. And they were going to have this big event on the roof and they were going to do the wrestling. And I remember it was literally like the day before the city ended up, the county ended up shutting it down.
Oh, man.
But, you know, we see there's even a lot of the other companies in town and Ricky and them, they get all these little taco places and Sin. Yeah. And, you know, it seems like a lot of them get those gigs. You know, and it's like, you know, we're out there grinding and doing the stuff, and it's like, wow, why aren't they hitting us? So it was like, you know, it's a big one. So we're very excited, you know, to be a part of that, as we also have September, October, November, and December at the HyperX. And then we're looking forward, hopefully, to return to San Diego for. So we're just trying to build that resume and add these different events that they're fun to do because it's like, you know, they pay well and it's to a different fan base.
Yeah.
So it's like getting new people to find out what we're doing. You know, we've had a lot of fun doing the Toy Con over the years. So, you know, this one, I'm very eager to make the announcement just because – then I know it's signed, sealed, and delivered. So,
right. You know, is that something that, you know, when you look at kind of the internet wrestling fan base, it's very, kind of almost isolated, right? These are people who watch wrestling. They watch tons of wrestling. They watch either, you know, main programs, independent shows, all this type of wrestling is what they crave. But as a business owner and someone who knows wrestling, just being a fan for as long as, you know, you've been a fan, is one of the most important things with wrestling exposing it to that new base of people who don't have, especially with independent wrestling, when you get casual eyes. If you can get it at a convention, you're getting people who are local and out of town and who might not know that, you know, independent wrestling in itself even exists. I think that's huge to get that exposure at these types of places, right?
Well, yeah, you know, doing it for 17 years, you're always surprised. And it's like, even with new students, and they somehow come across you, and it's like, wow, you would think everybody knows about FSW in Vegas. How do you not know? 17 years, we're on the strip. We've been at Sam's Town. We've been at the Silverton. Right. Like, how have you not seen it? But if you're not paying attention about it, then I guess it just, you know, goes over your head. It was like, wow, WrestleMania, there was so much going on. Or what people don't realize is we think, because we're a part of it, the social media explosion, that everybody should know, because who doesn't go on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all TikTok and all this other stuff, you know what I mean? But there's a way more percentage of people that don't than do, which is mind-boggling to me at this point in 2026, that, you know, at least 80 or 90% of people you would think are part of all that, you know what I mean? But, you know, I guess they're not. That's why you're always finding new people, and that's why it's always trying to get the brand out there and trying to, you know, get other people involved. Or, hey, you know, it's like, hey, let me make up an A-frame with all the dates at the HyperX and put it at the HyperX. So that way, when people are walking past the Luxor, and they might not be gaming people, but they're walking past, they look around and they look in, and it's like, well, the idea is to put that A-frame kind of close to the entrance, because you can't put it in the Luxor.
Right. But I
put it in because now everybody who walks through the Luxor, 2% might be walking in. They're lucky if 2% of them walk into the HyperX Arena. Well, if they walk into the HyperX Arena, yeah, then you might know about FSW. We need the people who don't walk in the HyperX Arena, but they just walk past the HyperX Arena. Because we had talked in the past, and, you know, when the old CEO was there, Mark, of replacing their commercial with ours so it plays throughout the Luxor. And that was in January. And, you know, those are little things that still haven't happened. So when, you know, there was the Luxor decided to embrace wrestling finally, which was in April for the WrestleMania, they set up their whole bar and made it like a steel cage around the bar. And it was a whole, you know, wrestling thing. And then we were allowed to put flyers and things like that, you know, in the bar area.
Right.
But it's like, regardless of everything, it isn't like the Luxor. And again, it's like every place. Like, you could walked into Sam's Town and be like, hey, where's the wrestling show? And probably 95% of the people that you asked at Sam's Town would be like, what wrestling show? And it's no different at the Silverton, and it's on the marquee. So unless you're an employee who saw the marquee, you wouldn't know we had wrestling there. And it's the same thing in the Luxor. Like, hey, when I drive by the Luxor, hey, I know there's an esports place because they have this giant banner that says esports. HyperX Arena. Wow, that's really cool. It's like, you know, why is it so difficult to put a 20-second ad? Because it's not the Luxor, but people now will come into the Luxor to come to an event in the Luxor. Just like when you have somebody going to see Carrot Top and the Blue Man Group, and they have all these different things that you get to know about. Just because it's the HyperX, well, the HyperX is paying rent. And you're really, and it goes back to that with the Silverton. It's like, we're bringing people into your place. Well, the FSW is coming into the HyperX, which is bringing people into the Luxor who may want to eat, may want to drink, may want to go check out other things. And it's amazing that the free advertising you can't take advantage of.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's mind-boggling, and you know, it is kind of strange when you think about the fact that And we talked about this, you know, when you look at even the Silvertip, you know, it's, you have something that if your machine put just a little free advertising into it, then the percentage of people coming through your establishment might be 10% higher than, you know, without that. It just makes no sense. Right.
The last year at the Silverton, we did far more. And I always tried to like categorize it as, man, wrestling's really gotten popular. You know, we started with that right. Chris Bay event, and the next year we did really well. But it was like, is it possible? Because the walk up numbers became a lot stronger. Now, right. Did those walk-up numbers become a lot stronger because wrestling was that popular? Maybe it was twofold, but I got to believe that having the marquee, not only was the marquee up for 2 to 4 weeks, most cases two because they were slow, right. But now all of a sudden they had those video walls throughout the casino.
Yep.
Where now when you looked, you would eventually see, and it didn't take 10 minutes. Like inside the casino, not that it was the biggest casino in town and they used to do way better and everybody goes to the South Point and everything, but they have a pretty decent base. And then all of a sudden they also would send out the email blasts and it would be like, well, you know, you're a four wall. And it's like, what's the difference? Like, it's free to just put our flyer in the same email that you're sending to me about having, you know, that mariachi thing that they used to have, what the crazy one.
Metalachi?
Yeah, Metalachi. Yeah. Or, if, you know, the group that would play, the Spanish one that did, you know, Bombaleo or whatever. And they would play there.
The we're not Los Lobos, but... but
no, they would have Los Lobos there too. But they would have those, and they would never include us. And it's like... Yeah. Why can't we be in there? Then all of a sudden marketing decided to like, oh yeah, there's another event. There's a wrestling. And it was like, well, even the last show we did there. And that's the one thing that was more beneficial. And the only thing that was more beneficial than being at the HyperX was we were able to be seen by thousands and thousands of people every day for at least a couple of weeks before our show. And it really made those numbers. Unfortunately, for what we paid there, the numbers, I don't know if it makes it worth it to do a show there for that price, for our price now.
Right.
But it's like, man, it took us being there 5, 6, 7 years before they did that. And we're trying to get that with the HyperX, and then there's been a lot of turnover. So and it's made it a lot difficult. Everybody there, you didn't know if they were going to be there 3 months later. It's like, hey, now all of a sudden the audio sucked at the last show. And it's like, hey, that's what we're paying the most money for. And like, hey, we need to get that fixed. If I got to pay this guy this kind of money, man, just for the stream, you know, if you go there live, wow, sounds great.
Yep.
Well, why doesn't it sound great on the TV? When we can go to the FSW arena and basically put the OBS, which is the system that we use, onto a desktop and the sound is fine.
Yeah.
You know, we're now using the equipment from a multi-million dollar facility who, if you're there live for the venue, everything is fantastic. But the stream shit.
Yeah.
You know, and the video looks fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, the commentary there's been issues the last few shows of, you know, in and out, like, hey, you're supposed to be this high priced guy. We can't have two shows in a row where there's issues with the audio that I'm paying for out of my own pocket.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, with the production value being what it is, you know, it is kind of jarring when you're watching it and your brain just kind of fades in and out then because it's fading in and out. And that's tough. I mean, it felt, It felt like watching, it felt like you guys were doing commentary at the FSW arena and watching a video because.
Yeah. And it was so weird because you didn't hear the crowd noise in any way. And all you really did was hear that commentary. And it's interesting because of FSW. Now it looks like they're going to be doing a wrestling event in September. That isn't through us. And, you know, company out of Cali, and they don't have much of a fan base. So I guess, you know, they're going to make their money from it. But it's like, we're not doing anything. It ain't you. You know, it isn't our people. So I understand you got to make your money. This still doesn't make me happy about it. Yeah. And it's like, so we have a show, and then the day after and the day after, there's going to be two more shows after that. You kind of flood in the market. Like, they couldn't do it the week later, 2 weeks later. Like, you can, you know, that was one thing we had in the contract with Samstown. Not only were they not allowed to have another somebody there the same week, we weren't, like, allowed, you know, we couldn't go to the Eastside Cannery
right,
and a week before run a show there, too.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like. But it is what it is, and, you know, the deal we got is the deal we got. But it's going to be interesting because they've been very inquisitive about how we run a show to now all of a sudden they're going to have to go in there. And it's like, did they jump through the same hoops that we did to get in there? You know, but, you know, remember, the reason you're making any of that money is because the fact that you let FSW in. And we've made your place. And again, it's bound to happen. And now that's a destination for somebody to run a show. We would have liked for them to go through us, use our ring, let us make something out of the deal too. Because right. we've gone there on our own dime and, you know, helped out when they wanted to do the WWE 2K game where we weren't even allowed to have our logo on there because of WWE and trademarks and, you know, our wrestlers could be announced, but we couldn't be like, hey, in conjunction with FSW. Same thing when they tried to do the watch party that we ran for them free of charge. Right. So it's like, hey, you know, don't forget about us.
Yeah. And then, you know, and again, that's interesting too, when, you know, when outside companies want to come in, they'll see if, you know, if they get any type of draw, right? Because, again, it's an unknown company coming in from Cali. You know, what are the odds and how are you marketing? Like, you got to do twice as much marketing and trying
to get... Yeah, you know, I'm interested in seeing how much HyperX or Luxor promotes something.
Right.
Because, you know, the fan base that we bring to the HyperX, you know, is pretty much everybody FSW brings to the table. You know, our conflict is trying to get them to be involved to do that. You know, I'll be honest. I'll be shocked if they draw even decently, you know, because you know, WrestleMania week, there was one that I knew wasn't going to do well, the Delgado show, and it didn't. It did horribly.
Yeah.
Because the fact is, they brought in a couple of big name guys, but the marketing wasn't there. You know what I mean? And it's like, just because you're running an event, WrestleMania weekend, people need to know about it. And Title Match did fantastic. Because they had a built-in fan base. They had the women's show. And also the Spark Josie did very well.
Yeah.
But they had a brand, and they did well the year before at Silverton where I got them the deal. So it was good that I helped them out because they came to me. And HyperX, I was able to put together that deal so everything was through us. You know what I mean? Now it's like, okay, well, you know, I have to have insurance. You guys want security. Well, we provide that. Now, we could provide it for their show, but it's going to cost some money. Or, you know, but those motherfuckers better have all their shit down because I wouldn't be very happy the person that was there 10 times for them to be, oh yeah, they're okay, we're going to take care of them, but not us.
Right.
And again, I don't perceive it, but you never know.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about, since we're on the HyperX, Survival of the Fittest, which is happening on Saturday, August 22nd at 7 p.m. at the HyperX. You know, some big stuff going on with MK stacking up the card against...
You know, it's almost like a triple main event, because this one will be the four-on-four survival match, which will be elimination style. One, you know, could be... I guess four guys could be still standing. But, yeah. You know, the faction... You know, they may have thought, you know, and again, no disrespect to the Bryce Saturns and the Kevin Koas of the world, solid as solid can be, but now it's Bad Dude Tito and Toa Leona, who just became champion in the six-man tag team titles for AEW. And those are, you know, no pun intended, but two bad dudes.
Yeah.
You know, that... MK has, you know, recruited for this match. So he's pulling out all the stops. Luke Curtis, who seemingly there was some kind of relationship between the two. I guess now it's official. You know, instead of Koa and Toa, we got Luke and Duke. So, you know, and the faction, so it's a 4-on-4 elimination. So they got their work cut out for them, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, you talk about a lot of beef in the ring. That's going to be it's going to be crazy to see. And then, of course, we talked a little bit about it, but it's official: Zoe Serrano versus Brittany Brooks. You know, it's just fascinating to see that their paths are finally crossing now. It's
Yeah, you know, this is definitely, without a doubt, the biggest match in the career of Brittany Brooks. And, yeah. You know, Zoe, who we were supposed to have in July, but she went to England to wrestle. And this is her return. You know, it's a big time for her. You know, she was a major, you know, factor, former women's champion. You know, many people believe the best women's champion we had in FSW. So there's going to be a meet and greet with Toa as well as Zoe before the show. And I think a lot of the FSW fans, kind of like when Cross came back for the first time, you know, there's going to be a lot of support for her. And, you know, Brittany's interjected herself and, you know, she likes to be, as she says, the center of attention. And it's going to be definitely a big time moment. You know, that's going to be very, very late in the card. You know, I'm penciling that in as possibly the semi-main event. No titles on the line, but the, you know, this could be one of the biggest women's matches since Lacey Ryan versus Tessa Blanchard.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's
similar. It's similar to be, you know, Lacey was the FSW women's champion. She was, you know, somebody that was on the verge. And many people feel the same thing about Brittany, that she's, you know, this close. And if it wasn't for her blowing out the knee, the second knee within a couple of years, that she would be signed. So, you know, if she goes out there and puts on a stellar performance against a former WWE superstar that was highly regarded for her work rate, you know, it's definitely something that will help Brittany as she tries to, you know, make some TNA appearances, some AEW.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the big three may come a calling if she can go out there and put it all together.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the interesting things about this picture right here is I see two other females pictured. Is that a hint of what we're going to see for the FSW championship?
Yeah. We're still putting that together. You know, it was possible. There's two possibilities. One is a you know, a 3-on-3, 4-on-4 survival match. Or there's a possibility of maybe a multi-woman match for the title.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty sure, you know, Zamaya is not that friendly with, you know, most of the women. And, you know, unfortunately, I guess Ronnie West, Veronica West, Veronica Haven, or Fallon Gray, you know, we could have a whole team right there. You know, I still have to find out from her what, you know, which name is official.
She's at 22. She's already on the Lacey Ryan, Zoe Stark, Zoe Serrano.
Yeah, but it's four names within 3 months.
Yeah, exactly. At 22, she's on the that track.
You know, I know the reference would be old to too many people, but she is the Sybil of FSW.
Actually, that quite fits her character a little bit too. If you look at the Ronnie character, it's kind of a Sybil. That's
because somebody was saying, I'm like, oh, so what do we call her? And somebody's like, oh, she was saying Ronnie. I'm like, what? You know, because I saw the post, I wasn't really paying that much attention. I scrolled down and it says Veronica West. And I'm not looking at the picture, and it's like, oh, my time and WWE ID, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow, I don't really know anybody named Veronica West, because I'm not even thinking. You know, I might have just woke up. And then all of a sudden, as I'm scrolling past it, because I finished reading it, and I'm like, oh, shit, that's Veronica Haven, who's now changed her name because she's not part of the ID program. I still haven't heard the story yet, so I'm trying to find out. You know, I haven't seen her, so it's like, hey, you know, what's the dealio on that one?
Yeah.
We're 0-for-3 on the ID program. We've had 3 IDs, and all 3 of them are no longer in the ID program. What the hell?
It's interesting. I think that it seems like this coincided with the Minnesota tryouts, so I got a feeling that they might they might be IDing a couple other people, and they probably only have X amount that they want to keep in that kind of time frame. You know,
but it's like awfully quick in that. But I want to give a shout out to Chris Bay and the girl who won the tryout, Taylee Robertson.
Yeah,
she hit us up. I brought her up on the podcast before. She's from Southern Utah. She's from St. George. And she was the Division II women's champion in her weight class. And Chris told me, he was like, wow, and this was the first time. In the 2 hours that she trained, he was like, man, if we have her for a few weeks, I'm pretty sure she can do a match. And then she came in the week of the tryout for the second time.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Chris sent me the clip that I ended up posting later, but she was voted the MVP of the tryouts. And she had no professional wrestling background in any way other than 2-3 hours at FSW, but it's like, we can take credit.
Yeah. Yep. And that is exactly what they're looking for. You know,
And it would shock me that they make her the MVP, but then not offer her a contract.
Oh, yeah. No.
So out of everybody in the tryout, that featured a lot of independent wrestlers and a lot of athletes that weren't there. They're always going to sign some people out of there.
Yeah.
You know, unless there's a money issue and whatever is being offered or something. But it looks like a good shot that somebody that we help train.
Yeah.
And if not, maybe it's like, hey, you know what? We really like what you're doing. Keep it up. Now, all of a sudden, we have a new addition to the roster.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of a win. We're in a good win-win on this one.
Yeah. And I, again, they love that. They love the fact that she is a Division I athlete. She's a champion. They can sell that. They can mold her. That's what they love about the athletes is they take them right into the performance center and then start training them with a fresh background. So
yeah, and that's always, you know, I think it's bullshit, but it's, well, you know, you got to retrain. You don't have to retrain a good independent wrestler. You know what I mean? You have to adjust their stuff.
Right.
You know, you're not going to train the flippy floppy guy who has no basics. You know, we know WWE, the number one thing they're looking at are the basics. Yeah. So a lot of the people who get signed, you know, they got to look, and it takes a while. You know, most people go down to the developmental. It isn't like they just show up on NXT next week. You know what I mean?
No, so it's like
something they saw about Live Danger. It will take them months to get reacclimated to the style of what they're looking for. And well, when they feel that they're ready, boom.
And I think that's one of the important things, you know, of them doing stuff like having Evolve, having the ID, having LFG. They basically have all of these feeder programs that gets you around the performance center, gets you some training, and then gets you a little exposure on TV to get used to it. And then it takes, I'd say it takes about 2 years to get onto NXT. You're starting to see some of the guys from some of the past tryouts over the last 2 years or so. They're now starting to break through, like Mason Rook and a lot of these guys who just start getting exposure. So the path is there. And I think a lot of the independents who got a shot in Minnesota, you had a great mix of some veterans, and, you know, meaning they've been around for, you know, 5-6 years, and some younger talent. And I got a feeling when they announce their class, you're probably going to see about 5 or 6 signings, I think, out of this one. So,
yeah, I hope so. And I see my guy Robbie Ees was kind of the host out in the forefront. So, you know, he's kind of ghosting me a little, like, dude, you know, you hit me up in April, we're into July. It's like, hey, we got Live Danger. I told him about Taylee, and it's like, hey, you know, let's get some of my guys some tryouts. You know, I guess you can't say he fully ghosted me, you know, because, you know, on July 12th, I said, you know, about getting some tryouts, you know, heart emoji, but he didn't post anything. Like, dude, you know, you can respond. You're the one who contacted me about trying to get some people, some looks. And I know, like, he's reached out to the Mariachis and, you know, sent them some stuff on Jaden Cole, and also gave him, you know, hey, you know, hey, check out Bodie. Hey, check out this, you know, even though certain guys that are already on their radar.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, let's go get it done. You know, he's probably afraid, you know, all my knowledge, I would take his job, you know, once Shawn Michaels met me. Like, oh, Robbie, where's this Joe guy? You need him. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. I think that, you know, one of the best things right now is the fact that when the opportunity hits, I think that you can see, and one of the best things about Future Shock coming up here this weekend, you can see that the younger talent is getting prepared, I think, better now than at any point. You know, the opportunities that they're getting and the knowledge that they're getting. You know, if it's not clicking for you, it's probably 99% on you at this point, because everything around you, the opportunities and everything, are there. So, you know, it's great to see. You watch a Future Shock, and you could put that up against, you know, 90% of the independent wrestling shows out there who aren't bringing in big names or whatever, just regular company, you know, people that are around. I think that shows you know, the determination and desire of the youngsters. What do we have on tap for Future Shock, man?
We got Jake Redondo back. Very impressed with him a lot. And, you know, he's going to have a great opportunity. First off, Jeffrey Excellence, he is still putting that one together. You know, Jaden Cole is going to be there, though, where he got his start on Future Shock. And yep. One of his first matches was a loss to Brandon G. So the No Limits title is going to be on the line. And Brandon G is going to see, which I guess back in the day, and again, it wasn't that long ago. So it could be an upset, I guess. It's a big upset if Brandon G beats Jaden Cole, but he already has beaten Jaden Cole, who's come a long way from probably his first or second match, which was probably, it could have been his first match. You know, I'm not sure. Yeah. I know Sharp was the second one. So either Brandon G was his first match or his third match. Okay. So I don't remember who Jaden Cole wrestled first. But whoever it was, he lost. So he is going to be there for that. So looking at the card, I have it written down here. We have Jeffrey Excellence is going to actually wrestle one third of the Asylum in the King, Marcus Anderson, who hasn't had too many singles matches. Nice. But for people who don't know, Marcus Anderson wrestled in Japan, and he kind of stepped away for a while. Even while he was with us, he would come in and just train here and there, and we didn't use him for a long time. So he's gotten himself back in fantastic shape, and you know, that whole group is kind of out there. But so Jeffrey Excellence against Marcus Anderson, and the other two members of the Asylum, Phil Godfrey and the Jester, they're going to be taking on Excellence's compatriots of the Golden Showers of Adrian Rain and John Trademark.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got that. Another good matchup that we got is Joey Lancaster, who been hanging out with us, been training. This is going to be the last day that he's going to be in Vegas for a while. He has some family up here, decided to come train for a month, and everybody really likes him. Good dude, good in the locker room, but very talented. Him and Davion will go one-on-one. So, and then Jake Redondo is going to take on Ricky Tenacious, almost like the gatekeeper of Future Shock.
Yes. That's great.
And after turning to the dark side, Robbie Lidd of the Fight Club, he'll be going one-on-one with Sugar Brown's mentoree, Exility Josh, one of our younger students, who's really made himself his first opponent had to have been Watson. That is probably a good observation, being that usually when if you don't do Sharp, Watson was always the guy that we would give the up-and-comer the first match. So Brandon G would have probably been the third or fourth match.
Yeah.
You know, thanks to Beans with with the memory, you know, since I got that older memory. But, and then the Crusade, who bark a lot on – I'll tell you what, you know – If Con Osborne wrestled as good as he talks on social media, he may have won the Future Shock Championship.
Yeah.
But, you know, you know, and again, you know, there's always those people who I held them back. It's my fault. Right. You know. Well, they're going to get their chance. They're going to take on a couple of young guns, as we like to call them. The Solution, Louis, who's only 16, who just turned 17 maybe, and Kevin Demery. So, you know.
All right. Yeah. That's not bad, man.
You know, seeing if we could squeeze in a women's match. I haven't been able to put that together yet. Oliver Canaday will also be on the card, and you know, he's a guy that a lot of people are very high on, and you know, he's disappointed. He brought a bunch of family there expecting to walk out as Future Shock champion, but you know, didn't happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you had a Future Shock bodybuilding category, Canada would be probably right there.
You know, he's a guy who's put himself in position, and I'll be honest with you that, you know, talk about call-ups, NXT, you know, Oliver's in a position. He beat Jake Redondo, who we're extremely high on.
Yeah.
So, you know, the timing might be right where, you know, Oliver Canada, you know, wrestles with the big boys, you know, being he is a big boy, you know.
Yeah, it's
so, you know, there's a lot of guys scratching and clawing that they want that HyperX match.
Yeah.
You know, sure. And, you know, we definitely will have a pre-show match at Survival of the Fittest. You know, we have the Fight Club versus, I'm trying to think, is like Mondo's Marauders. It's like, you know, what's the name? And as we saw, there was no Mondo at the last show, but Robbie and Brett the Threat decided to try to put the boots to Joey Lancaster. Yeah. And Remy and Shug, you know, two other trainers. And so it looks like, you know, trying to come up with like the creative how, you know, the Survivor Series used to be with team names.
Right.
You know? And right now it looks like it's Remy, Sugar Brown, and Mondo. And they're waiting on who's going to be the fourth member. That takes on the Fight Club.
Right.
We have, you know, the announcement looks like it's going to be, this will be it, AJ and Fox in maybe a last man standing match.
Yeah.
You know, a little controversy in the last match with the chain, but, you know, Fox came up strong in that one.
Yeah.
So, you know, that one is pretty set. And then
it's almost they're almost on the road to a casket match. It's at that point. There's no place else to go, either last man standing or casket. That's about it for those guys.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, you know, the match plan that I had for Mariachi Montana has not come to fruition. So holding off on that, but there's a good chance one of the teams that had confirmed, which is fine. You know, the only thing I don't like about that match is it trying to get the gimmicky Survival of the Fittest type match.
Right.
But it might just be Mariachi Montana versus TBD. And I don't think anybody's going to complain about just seeing that match.
Well, question for you. You know, when you're talking about tag teams, you're talking about some things going on recently. And I saw the poster, it just kind of sparked my mind. Where do we stand with Vandegrift and Damian Drake? And you got Jay Vidal and you got Bateman. Are we seeing something floating around that orbit?
Well, yes, for sure. But the question is, you know, it's that plug and play thing. You know what I mean? Bodie's going to have a gauntlet match.
Right.
And not that Bodie's having a gauntlet match, because the gauntlet match was the plan.
Right.
And the plan is it's going to be four or five wrestlers have to get through each other, because Bodie's not going to start, because he kind of questioned me yesterday. Like, so is it whoever wins the gauntlet wrestles me later? And it's like, no, Bodie, that's not how a gauntlet match works. A gauntlet match is they got to get through whoever. So one guy might have to win two or three matches, and then he wrestles you right then and there. That's the gauntlet match. It's not a gauntlet match if you wrestle him later.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what luck of the draw is. You win the Rumble, and then in the main event, you do that.
Right.
Since we're trying to have everything based off the story of Survival of the Fittest, who are you overcoming? You know,
right.
You know, sure, we could do a 4 or 5 way match and Bodie's in that match. So he has to overcome if we did an elimination style match.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, well, that's what we're doing for survival of the fittest in a 4-on-4. We can also do that in a 4-way, which we could do in a, if we do the women's match. So we're 2.5 weeks away. So we're still trying to figure everything out because a couple of things, unfortunately, fell out of place of what we were looking to do. You know, we're talking about the bonus boys. Well, Shug's involved with the Mondo thing, so that eliminates them. And Graves is on the same show that Koa and Saturn are in Phoenix. So that eliminated the thought process of possibly the Gods of War.
Right.
Other former tag team champions. You know, crazy enough.
Go ahead.
The Commandos, Suburban Commandos, who are now the Stoner Brothers.
Right.
Who we haven't seen in many years. They're also 3-time FSW tag team champions. They hit me up recently about wanting to, hey, you know, it's been a long time. And it's like, that is definitely another option, which also puts in, you know, obviously you can't use the Reno Scum because Luster, we've talked with him a lot, but Adam has pretty much retired.
Yeah.
Jack Manley's pretty much retired. So the Whirlwind Gentlemen are out. And it's like, okay, who are former FSW tag team champions that could still be in the mix? Obviously, the Suavecitos, who we have a good relationship with still.
Right.
Haven't seen them since they lost the belts. So there's definitely teams, but trying to do this legacy tag, I wanted some names from the past, which the Commandos, it's been so long that our modern day fan base has probably no idea who they are because it's probably been 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
Still might be cool to have them there, you know. They defeated the Young Bucks to win the FSW Tag Team Championships for the 2nd or 3rd time at Sam's Town with the Hater Nation back in the day.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's definitely a history there, you know. I don't think the Von Dooms are wrestling much together. I know, you know, Cyanide is, you know, training wrestlers
right in
California.
Yep.
You know, and a lot of, if you take a look, you know, Jarrell Nelson, 1% was a great idea. Royce, right? Royce is looking to come back. He got hurt again. Well, not again, but he's hurt and he's talking about not coming back till November. But we were talking to Brett the Threat against Royce or 1%, which again would be perfect as a legacy tag team. You know, a couple of years ago, they came back and won the tag belts and they beat ABC, which was Chris Bay and Ace Austin.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, we have Toa and Juicy. We have Toa back, but he's doing something else. But if Juicy was available, he would have been part of the MK thing, but they would have been perfect. But who's to say in September, if we're doing these legacy tag X tag champions, maybe Toa and Juicy.
And I mean, realistically, couldn't you find a way to get the other Gate of Agony in and just have Toa do double duty?
Yeah, just say, hey, MK, I need X amount of dollars, and you need to I'll cover the flight, and you bring in Bishop Khan.
Shit.
Because their prices are going to be way different than when we did have both of them a few years ago at the Mecca.
Right. Hey, man, hey, that bolsters MK's resume right there. That's a,
you know, MK's all for it. Yeah. You know, Che and Tito, but they'd never won the tag team championships.
Right, right.
Yeah. You know, Bateman and Jay Vidal, the Unguided. They're former tag team champions. So all those people are in that conversation. It's just like, where are we going? And, you know, there's a gauntlet to wrestle Bodie for the championship. Well, we have a former champion in Bateman, who Bodie beat. Right. We have a former champion in Sharp.
Right.
who Bateman beat. We have a former No Limits multi-time champion, Jay Vidal, who cost Sharp the championship, who is, you know, go look at the history of Jay Vidal and Bodie.
Yep.
You got a guy who's never won a championship. But to get into the Cash in the Case ladder match, he kind of had Bodie beat, but circumstances in Nick Zander.
Right.
Well, yeah, Duke Lawrence is a guy who was the Nevada State champion. Unfortunately, he's not going to be in the but he's a guy, former Nevada State champion, who beat Bodie.
Yeah. And then, hey, you didn't bring up Vandergriff. Vandergriff got screwed out of that title match. Vandergriff
was supposed to get a title match. So there's a good chance that he might be in the gauntlet. But we can't have eight guys in the gauntlet, so Duke's already got something going.
Right.
But it's like, okay, you got a Matt, you got a Zander, you got a Bateman, you got a Jay Vidal, you got a G-Sharp. G-Sharp's on the flyer. I need to get him on the show.
Yeah. So question for you then.
But he is a trainer. He could be the fourth guy in that match.
Oh, yeah. That's true, too. Yeah. You don't have Gods of War because one of the gods is in Arizona. But, I mean, is
– You got Hammerstone. You got Limelight.
Yeah. I mean, shit.
That's why it's like we're being cautious, and we want this to be crazy. You know, imagine a gauntlet match with those guys. Obviously, we don't have room. Well, how about a suicidal six-way for the championship? And now all of a sudden, it's a six-way with Bodie. You want to talk about survival of the fittest?
Yeah.
You know, we did a match that Bodie brought up that I enjoyed, that I saw WWE do back in the day. And it was 15 minutes or 20 minutes. This might have to be a little longer, where the last pin is the champion. So I remember Brian Kendrick. You know, he pinned somebody in the match, and for about 4 minutes, he was the heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought in my mind the gauntlet match. But the gauntlet match, wow, we could have a G-Sharp, a Bateman, a Hammerstone, a Danny Limelight, and a Bodie is five. And now it's like, well, you got to pick from Jay Vidal, Matt Vandergriff, Nick Zander, a Damian Drake. You know, that's why you – a Shogun, a Son Lu. So unless they're in that tag, that eliminates them because I'm pretty much expecting them to be on the card.
Right. Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, Duke may say, hey, put me in that mix. I don't care. I'll work double duty. Ice Williams.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus.
We could literally have like a 10-way match. And there would be really, you know, you go watch WWE, you put 10 guys in a match, you know, seven aren't winning.
Right. Right.
You put 10 guys in this match. All right, you may say one or two of them, they've never held those titles. They got no shot. But you're going to tell me that there's this heavyweight title match. Sharp can't win it. Well, he has before. Bateman can't win it. Duke can't win it. Shogun can't win it. Hero can't win it.
Right.
You know, I'm glad you brought up that match, Matt, because now I'm starting to really think that that might – you want to talk about a main event. The gauntlet match leaves Bodie out of the entire match.
Right, exactly. And knowing Bodie, and like you said, that I think that's what Bodie's questioning in his mind is, wait a minute, that means I only get this much.
What was that match called? It was about 20 minutes, and it was basically – and we did it at the – we did it. And Bodie was in the match. We did it for the No Limits Championship on a New Year's Eve show. And it was cool and everybody liked it. But it was a 5 or 6 way match where now you had five, right? Instead of one on one. Wow. Hammerstone was available and it's like, well, I'm not going to have Hammerstone in this match because there's no Graves. Now you want to talk about Bodhi having to overcome the ultimate survival of the fittest. Man, that's the match.
Right.
You know? So now I like the idea of a gauntlet match. And I still have no idea what we were doing with Jaden Cole.
Yeah.
So if he gets by Brandon G and the No Limits title's on the line, maybe that becomes the gauntlet match. Man, making moves on the DeFalco files.
Of course. That's what I do. Championship scramble is what they called it.
I'm the king of scrambles.
Yeah, a 5-man WWE match with the 20-minute time limit where the winner is the person who scores the final pinfall or submission right as time expires. Yep.
Right, and right when the Brian Kendrick started getting the push, and I was like very excited when he got the pin. And of course, it didn't last. But that was when he used to come out with Ezekiel Jackson, was like his bodyguard type.
Right.
And they let him, you know, he scored a pin like probably midway through the match. But the FSW championship scramble, that might have been it. I believe it was Bodhi Bodhi and G Sharp were down. I think Bodhi had the pin. And he was the champ up until like the last 30 seconds. And I think G Sharp won the match.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
New Year's Eve.
Yep. Yeah, that's
there you have it.
That scramble was Kendrick, Shelton, Benjamin, Jeff Hardy, Triple H was the champ going in, and MVP. Was that particular one. And then the World Heavyweight Championship scramble match. Wow. JBL, Kane, Batista, Mysterio, and CM Punk was the champ going in. So that's how long ago this was.
Gotcha.
Wow. That's, I mean, 2008, Unforgiven 2008. So, damn, I think that's a bad idea.
You know, I would do the Ultimate X match, which is my bucket list match that we've never done that I want to do. But the championship scramble for sure. Yeah. So it's like now I'm trying to go on the website because I typed it in and on the Google search, but it basically just had different scramble matches that we've done. Right. But I don't know if it was called, you know, the FSW championship scramble.
Okay, I think.
Well, I see one here. It says No Limits Championship Scramble. There you go. This might be it. Damian Drake versus Eli Everfly versus Watson versus Damian Desire. Nah, this was just a regular No Limits Championship match, I'm pretty sure. The other one, and that was at Survival of the Fittest at Silverton that I'm looking at.
Right. I think Beans has it. This is the No Limits Championship at Countdown to Midnight 2023.
There you go. So who was in the match there, Beans? You know, I know it's G Sharp, and I knew it was Bodhi. So that becomes trying to find it. And it's like, okay. So, yeah. So this was a scramble for a 5-way at Survival of the Fittest, which made sense. But it wasn't done that way. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm thinking I need to go to my page and let's see if we go to, because you know, they let you put in dates and stuff.
Right.
So So I can put in, when you go into the search engine, countdown to midnight. And then if you do 2023, because it'll say post from, you know, the date posted. There we go. Was it 2023 or was it 2024? Because, you know.
I'm thinking it would have been 23 going into 24, to be honest.
Tag Team Eliminator. It was the Suavecitos versus the Po' Boys. Could be this match because it was said featuring Damian Drake, BYP, Gregory Sharp, Bret the Threat. But yeah, it's not really.
I think that might have been it.
Right. But it's trying to find that mat. You know what? Let's see. Tag team match. Nope, that wasn't it because BYP teamed with Vandegrift December of 2024. So trying to figure out what, wish we had that particular flyer, but we don't seem to. Let's see. Scramble. Because it's like, did we call it a championship scramble?
And I don't think you use that term. Yet.
I don't either.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Yeah. Struggling to find that one. So it's like trying to find the card of countdown to midnight. You put it in the search results. Back in the day on Facebook, which sucked, you can click 2023.
Right.
And then it would show every post from 2023.
Right.
You know what I mean? But nowadays, you can only search through a name for that day. Because even on December 21st, it doesn't even have like the card yet. December 26th. Yeah, so we'll have to figure that one out sometime.
Yeah, but I think that, yeah, that would be one hell of a match. Like you said, that would be the ultimate.
You can't go wrong with anybody in the match.
Yep.
So there you have it. So now, yet now, the gauntlet is tough, even though it's for the heavyweight championship, to be in that main event slot with everything we got.
Right.
But making that match, yeah, I think that's a good way because that last pin, you know, is a pretty big deal. So.
Oh, so you know what? Scoop got it. It was 23, and it was Beat the Clock. Because it was lined up with the midnight time.
That's what it was. Man, I'm an innovative dude, man. That was a good idea.
Source on this ringside.
Beat the clock.
But yeah, that's right. Beat the clock. Yep.
But I still can't find anything on it. So does he have the match? Do we know who's been in it? FSW Beat the Clock 2023. Maybe it shows up on the the clock was high. Because it's funny. It does the co-pilot search. And it always says such nice things. Beat the Clock, known for context. Yeah, I still can't find it. Oh wait, here it is. I don't subscribe to Triller anymore. It has It was called New Year's Resolution,
right?
In 2023,
right.
So now. Oh, no, that wasn't New Year's Resolution. What am I talking about? It was still Countdown to Midnight.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's 2023's New Year's resolution, right. January show. So, yeah, free ticket to Future Shock on Saturday for anybody who could tell me the participants of the 2023. Like, here, if you want to relive the action, check the FSW YouTube playlist for short format matches or search. That's weird. So why can't it just tell me what the match is by going to the YouTube page? You know what I mean?
YouTube right.
Channel. Let's see. Where can I search? Beat the clock. Do we have it? Maybe we get lucky. There was a different Beat the Clock. See, that's different. See, because we did that in November of January when it was Sharp versus Damian Drake, and they did a Beat the Clock challenge to make the skip stipulation at no escape. So that's the only one that I see, you know, in there. Well, Scoop, there you go.
Scoop has the photos at home, so.
Okay.
He'll jog your memory at some point.
Some point. You know, I got 9 tabs open, so it's like now I'm all over the place. All right, we'll figure that one out. But, yeah, there you go. The championship scramble. I think, Countdown to Midnight.
Get ready, Bodie, for
Sorry, Bodie. You have a lot more work in store for you.
Oh, man, yeah. Let's do that. That's – boy, it's some heavy hitting going on there too, man. Oof. Damn.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, makes me more excited about that match.
Yeah, that's exciting, really. You know, that's.
I'll tell you what, we've had some major matches. Jay Vidal beat Chris Bay. I'm looking at the thing in the 2022 to become the No Limits champion. No Limits
champion, yeah. Which was a great
match. Matt Vandergriff and Damian Drake. We did the 60 minutes right up until midnight.
Yep.
And I was a little worried about going 60 minutes, but they killed it.
Yeah, that timeout, I was watching that live, and that timeout couldn't have been done any better. That was one of the best in terms of two people figuring out how to execute something that hadn't been done before. It was just perfect. It was great. Yeah, some good shit.
Yeah. Proud of that. You know, there's a lot of, you know, it was really weird, like, trying to do something on New Year's Eve. Would anybody come out? And we've had the Mariachi's very first match was there.
Yeah.
And they packed the place themselves. They sold like 45, 46 tickets, if I remember correctly.
Here's the match. Scoop got it.
No way. Not in 2023. Maybe it was. Fox Valentine would be in that match. There's no way he's been wrestling for us for 3 years, has he?
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is right.
Wow. I would have never
really, yeah.
That Damien was... Desire and Fox Valentine in that thought process of a match in 2023.
He's looking at the actual photo, so I guess he has to be correct.
Maybe that was a different scramble match. I don't know. Yeah. Huh? No, put that. What was that list again?
Yeah.
This. Yeah. Like that. As I told you, I know BYP and Sharp, I knew were the last two pins. So I guess it's possible, but 2023? I know Fox was young. He pulled off a victory over Damian Drake at one point. Maybe that's what got him in. I don't.
And you got to remember, this is right at the end of 23 going into 24. So really, this would.
Yeah, and, you know, he had been out for a long time because he was hurt.
Right.
So that took away.
And Damien Desire was just, that's when he was like 23 is when he kind of broke. That's when he started getting on your window. And this was a New Year's show too. So availability, you got to take that into the factor. So this, and Scoop's got the picture in front of him. So
yeah, I'm looking, I typed in Fox's name and it says at Future Shock, Damian Drake looks to bounce back after a shocking loss to newcomer Fox Valentine, and that was September of 2023.
Wow.
Lethal Consequences. It was it was Shogun when he was going by Rich Homie Show versus Hiro Lu when he went to the dark side with MK.
Right.
And Danny Limelight wrestled Damian Drake.
Yeah.
Wow. Huh. Interesting. Well, nice. This will be a championship scramble for the ages.
Hell yeah.
Now I gotta get back on the horn with Hammerstone.
Hammerstone. Dude, that's
I'm excited now, man. It's like we can make this killer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's And think about it, that's your main event, and right before that, you get Zoe Serrano versus Brittany Brooks. Come on, man.
And then right before that, MK Army versus the Faction in a 4-on-4 elimination match.
Wow.
So that means you have a last man standing match, a women's title match,
yeah,
maybe a no limits gauntlet match.
Yep.
A tag team match, we got to figure. Ah, I'm breaking the bank on this show. Christ. Anybody want to sponsor, hit me up. Well, you know, we do have Wrestling Spotlight TV. Our guy, Gerald, he's going to be sponsoring the Zoe Serrano-Brittany Brooks match.
Yep. I think we got maybe a little. There we go.
There you go. There's his can.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, it's. Yeah, too bad. Too bad you can't bring this belt collector in.
Who's to say he can't be in the survival of the fittest scramble? The championship scramble.
Well, I mean, you did say you're already breaking the bank. Why not go ahead and
shatter it?
Just cash in all the chips and say fucking all in.
Jeez. Yeah. I better start raising ticket prices now.
Maybe Cross could do, instead of like a meet and greet, he could do like a 4-person dinner at like 500 a pop, right?
Yeah. You know, we've done it with Matt Hardy and it did well. You know, Kev's a very popular man here in Vegas, you know. And the plan in reality was to possibly try to do the Hall of Fame, but you know, Kevin's been busy but you know, we're lucky enough with, as we said, you know, that would be the first Hall of Fame trifecta with all the FSW homegrowns, basically. Because I consider Zoe a homegrown.
Yeah.
Even though she had been trained elsewhere. But Chris Bay, and as I said, you know. That is a Hall of Fame class for Las Vegas of Cross, Chris Bay, and Zoe Serrano. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, final thoughts as we wrap up, Joe.
Yeah, I think we've just made Survival of the Fittest an event that was going to be extremely good to one that's really putting it over the top. I think that's the match to have.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have some of the best. And again, it doesn't have to be former champions, but man, I definitely have a grouping of people that, man, sky's the limit.
Yep.
You know, it's like six ain't enough, but I can't really do more than six. So it's and Bodhi's already going to be one of them.
Right.
And again, I'm pretty sure Sharp's going to be one of them.
Yeah.
And if Hammerstone's available, he would be, and a Limelight could be, and a Jay Vidal could be, and a Matt Vandegrift could be.
Yep.
You know.
And then you also, once again, you also got Bateman, too.
I thought I mentioned him.
Yeah.
So. But, yeah. So, yeah. So, once I get off with you, it's kind of like, oh, it's time to – and Cross could be one of them.
Yeah.
You never know. He might be free. We might be able to put something together quickly. You know, we can have a round table around, you know, kind of like what Rikishi did, a round table with, you know, Cross, Bay, and Zoe Serrano.
Yeah.
And we'll have an extra seat for Tom Howard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, that's worth $100 a pop.
Hell yeah. Jesus. You know?
Man, I got plans. Maybe I put that together for September.
Yeah. That would be, you know, I don't know. Maybe we might have to talk Bad Boy sponsorship on doing something like that. Maybe we could work something together on that.
Hit up the Godfather, you know, Jeff Cobb.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Hey, I wonder if Jeff Cobb, I saw him show up at Produce Wrestling.
Yeah.
He lives in Vegas.
I think he's in town right now. Yeah.
Well, he lives here.
Yeah, well, but he's always bopping out to the, you know, to the
beaches. There's another name, another former FSW heavyweight champion, because the list of names is amazing. Brian Cage.
Yeah. That's true, too.
So, basically, Bode in a handicap match versus Hammerstone, Brian Cage, and Killer Cross. There you go, Bode. You got what you wished for.
And for good measure, just throw G Sharp in there.
Yeah. I remember back in the day, and of course he had a win. I think it was Roman Reigns. It was almost like a battle royal format, but it was Roman Reigns versus like 20 guys. Do you remember that? I think it was Roman Reigns, and that was when you want to talk about being pushed down our throats.
Right.
And I remember, like, he had to eliminate, like, everybody or something.
Right. Yeah. Well, hey, man.
Well, they are former champions. You know, former champions mean something.
Yeah. Well, this is what happens when you turn 19 and you step it up and you're at the top of your game. Time to prove. So, love it. All right. Well, then, now that we've figured that out.
It's helped two matches, because now it moves Jaden Cole's match into a gauntlet match, which could put the Nick Xanders, the Jay Vidals.
Yep.
Because if I make the championship match, only former champions, that kind of could, like, narrow it down a little bit. You know what I mean?
Right.
One-time special match. And to have all those guys in the same match together, it would basically be the last five FSW heavyweight champions.
Yeah.
And, you know, see if LA Knight's not busy.
Just tell him Roman Reigns is part of it, and he'll be here, right? That's
I don't know. I saw something with Bischoff about that there's heat on LA Knight, that certain things, and it's like, okay, but didn't they just put him straight into a program with Roman Reigns?
That's what they did last night, man.
So exactly. I don't know when the Bischoff thing was about, you know, walking around. And we know Sean is a guy who speaks his mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, when you hear Triple H talking about what you need, because I guess Damian Priest was complaining about stuff, and you know, that is an interesting, you know, little topic, because Damian Priest kind of jumped the line and they made him the heavyweight champion for a while. They put the belt on him, and I believe he got hurt, but it was like, wow, he kind of skyrocketed up.
Yeah.
And you talk about putting the work in, and again, I'm not the biggest fan, but they bring Baron Corbin back. Yeah. Given numerous opportunities, doesn't get over. There was crickets, and they have him win the U.S. title. Yeah. A guy like LA Knight, who, again, maybe it's the company man thing. I said the same thing back in the day about Albert and Prince Albert and Tensei and TNA, that you keep getting an opportunity. Most people don't get five to succeed.
Yeah.
And when you fail the first time, getting that second one is really difficult. Getting the third's impossible, but there's a few of them who somehow got that fourth and fifth opportunity, still failed. They fired the guy, and they brought him back to give him the U.S. title in his first match.
Yeah.
So, yep. You know, he must be a good company, man, because L.A. Knight still getting the loudest reaction.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But it's for another time, I guess. Yeah.
Well, on that note, you know, it looks like there's something huge on the horizon, and Joe's got to get to work. So
yeah, I got to get to Eventbrite and raise some ticket prices.
All right, everyone, thanks for tuning in this week, and until next time, happy wrestling, everybody.